Welcome, everyone, to the Lonely TARDIS, your journey through space and time, lords. I mixed it up this week. Figured I should try something new because it is a new season of Doctor Who. I'm Dolly Dymowski. Well, I can't even speak right now. I'm all nasally. Joining me is someone who is not nasally, but still fully bearded. Are you bearded, Marcus? It's Marcus.
It's kind of like a goatee right now.
Okay. All right. Marcus Beard, ladies and gentlemen. Also, in a little bit, Steven will be joining us, and hopefully Sean, but Sean has sent his notes along as well. He's going to try to make it. He had a long day of wonderful non-Doctor Who-related meetings, he tells me. So we'll get Sean on, if not today, definitely next week. But we're just going to dive right in it. Doctor Who is finally back. And what a week it was, right, Marcus? I mean, last week we had a little bit of a teaser for the Doctor's meditation, like a minute and a half long scene. This week we had a full 10 minute or so scene, like a prequel, and then and the full first episode, or I should say the half of the first episode, since it's a two-parter. And there was a bunch of other Doctor Who news scattered throughout the week. There's a Doctor Who game maker that appeared online, which I'm just going to skim over it. It's horrible. Don't even bother. And a bit of huge news that was dropped on us, almost in accordance with our prediction last week of one of the key actors on the show. So we'll start right in with the first bit, which is the Doctor's meditation. Again, we saw the prequel last week, which was like a minute long scene. This week we had the full prequel, and it basically dealt with the Doctor in, I want to say he was in, I think in Essex, in somewhere in the 1100s. And he's been having this, this party. Yeah, he's been meditating, but doing the best to keep from meditating. Apparently, as we come to find out later on, that if the Doctor meditates, it's usually his will. He's signing his, preparing to die. But which is kind of a big theme throughout this first episode. But he's having a party. He's doing everything he can to avoid actually meditating and coming up with as many excuses as possible. And what was the name of his sort of lackey that he rescued, that he saved with the splinter?
Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember because my head's still kind of spinning from the actual episode.
Yeah, so we'll dive right into the actual episode, which was a big one. The prequel ends with him kind of talking about this war, the war to end all wars, or the war at least that he can't escape from. We come to find out that it's the war on Scarborough. So the scene opens with the Doctor rescuing a young boy on this alien battlefield, which we come to find out is Scarrow. And he throws the boy the sonic screwdriver. Those hand monsters were kind of cool. The hand mines, I think they were called.
Yeah, very creative.
Yes, definitely. And Moffat, every once in a while, Moffat and the Who crew can come up with something pretty ingenious that they'll probably never use again. But at least we know there's some sparks there. Throws the boy this sonic screwdriver, says that's how he'll save him. You know, he'll guide him out. And then he asks the boy his name. The boy says, "My name is Davros." So they go right back to, the creator of the Daleks at a young age. And the boy says, and then all of a sudden, the Doctor decides to abandon him, go into the future. And this is all Capaldi's Doctor, by the way. Zoom into the 1100s, actually modern day, where Missy is hunting for, actually Sarf, who's one of Davros's lackeys, is hunting for the Doctor, and he finds Missy and Clara. Missy somehow alive. I'm not sure how that quite works, and she doesn't really explain it. She says she doesn't really die, or Time Lords don't really die. And they find the Doctor in the 1100s riding on top of a tank, playing a guitar a la, it was very Mad Maxian. I think it felt like
Fury Road. Medieval and Mad Max.
Medieval Mad Max, yeah. Medieval Max. And bring the Doctor back to Davros. And Davros proceeds to zap Clara and Missy into nothingness. And that's where we're left. The doctor is told to, he heads back to the battlefield where he rescues the young boy. And instead of rescuing him, he points a Dalek weapon at him, about to kill him. And that's where the episode ends. So a big episode. My initial thoughts, and I'm gonna let you dive right in, Marcus, because this was right up your alley, is that this was geared almost 100% towards classic, you know, fans of classic Who.
It was geared to piss me off.
It was exactly geared to piss you off. Davros is dying, and his last wish is basically to see everything around the doctor's life fall apart.
Yeah.
So give me your thoughts overall of this episode and where we go from here.
I really liked it.
Hold on, I think I just choked. Wait. Whoa.
Yep, wow. I really quite enjoyed it.
Wow, okay.
I gotta say, initially, the eye roll kicked in when it's like the kid's name is Davros, and, you know, it's like, oh, God, here we go. He's ripping off Genesis of the Daleks. But as the episode unfolded, I thought that this is the most likable and balanced Doctor we've seen so far from Capaldi. I thought that Missy, for the first time, had something meaty and not acting like a, like she was tripping on E. for the first time, she had that. She toned down the crazy.
Sure.
And it was more the master we know from the Delgado days, and less the John Sim master, where it was effortlessly evil.
Yes.
Okay. And there was definitely a vibe of, yeah, I'm just going to zap that guy. No, you know, no shit. Or, you know, the planes and, you know, there was that hint of just, you know, almost like Michael Keaton's Batman, where he where he first meets the Jack Nicholson character in his apartment.
Right. Yeah.
And he basically says, you know, you want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts. And it was like when, you know, it was the bit, you know, the snap between the two, the, you know, the hair trigger, which was way more, you know, having rewatched the first episode of the last season's final two-parter, I thought it was much more restrained, which is what you need. She's not a pantomime villain. She's not a continuous scene chewer. And I think it was much better all around. I thought the writing was better. You know, I liked, you know, the way it did tap in to Genesis of the Daleks moving forward, mm-hmm. where we saw, you know, the old school Daleks on Skaro, and we saw, you know, the nods back to the technology and the way the screens looked. Excuse me. I know I'm, getting a little sniffly.
The virus is heading through the internet here.
Through the internet, yeah. No, I thought it was great. I mean, we saw bits of Tom Baker saying, "Do I have the right?" Which, right, you know, if you haven't seen Genesis of the Daleks, by the way, people, what are you doing?
There are critical scenes from Genesis of the Daleks up on BBC's website that you can watch, as well as BBC America has actually played it a couple times this week.
They have Breakfast with Baker as well, which I'm going to take a sidebar and step into that, because Sunday through Friday, they are showing classic Tom Baker's all in one go from 9 a.m. Eastern. So set your DVRs, and Genesis of the Daleks is queued to come on in about a week or so, I think.
Yep.
So it's definitely one that's worth watching. But yeah, I just thought it was great. I mean, you know, we saw a bit more tortured Doctor. We saw a very cocky Doctor. I mean, you know, he was, when he came out, he was having fun.
He knew who he was, finally knew who he was.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could see shades of the Matt Smith Doctor in that guy who was up there, but not quite as, you know, not quite the same, but... And, you know, that's one of the reasons, having rewatched Tennant and Matt Smith's era over the last couple of weeks, you know, since they've been doing the takeovers on BBC America, you know, when you have a Doctor who is capable of joy and capable of having some fun, when he gets Dark, when he crumbles, when he gets emotional, it's way more powerful. Yep. And last season, having rewatched it, he was just an irritating fucking loon. It was almost like regeneration sickness went through the entire season, and it just dragged on and on. And he had no redeeming features last season, in my opinion. And this, you know, this is the Doctor who, the one, you know, in as of last Saturday, seems to be the one who is capable of, you know, great fun, but also, you know, that hints at such a darkness. And that's what I've been waiting for out of Capaldi. I mean, every compliment I've given, I will say, is with the caveat that this is a two-parter.
Yes. And
this time next week, Moffat might have fucked it all up again.
But, just like in the last season.
Yeah. I mean, look, it leads on a pseudo cliffhanger, but we know where it's going. I mean, he goes back to, at the end, he goes back to Skaro, and, you know, this thing haunts him. This decision haunts him for the longest time. I mean, it's interesting how they're going to explain, it's interesting that he steps away from a sonic screwdriver, and he hasn't had one since the end of the last episode, because it's now been on Skaro. So are we finally going to get Capaldi, his own screwdriver? Is he going to deal with the leftovers? I mean, there's a new interior of the TARDIS, but where's his new screwy? I dug it. I really, really dug it. And I thought it was a very strong, opening episode, some nice light, some nice dark. I mean, apparently, Clara is now the world's most powerful teacher, with a hotline to UNIT, which, is actually, it's quite sensible to a certain degree, where you look at what happened with Martha, you look at what happened with, with Rose a little bit. I mean, that was a little bit mental, but the way, now it's like, all right, UNIT has worked with Clara before, it does make sense to have her tap in. And the fact that she, she continues being the common sense person before calling the Doctor, who might be, this, God knows what they're going to get from him. I love the line, he'll go all Scottish. she seemed to be, she's more confident in herself. I mean, she's obviously gone through the dark stuff with Danny Pink and what happened at Christmas. So, I think all around, this is a very, very promising episode. And, if they don't drop below this, God forbid, I might enjoy the season.
It was very solid to me. It didn't have a ton of great action moments, or didn't have it was a very slow build. There wasn't a lot of mini climaxes throughout. There's a lot of interesting scenes, and I mean, it opens on a climax. You come to find out that he had essentially saved Davros by giving him the sonic screwdriver. So while the Doctor may have only been gone for 3 weeks, the sonic screwdriver has been in Davros's hands for, hundreds of years, potentially, for all we know. It was an instant cliffhanger, and then it dropped back off to, where's the Doctor? We don't know. The Doctor now knows that, life is all screwy, and he thinks his life is coming to an end. So he went into hiding. Meanwhile, Missy and Clara are back, and it's very interesting to see the way that Missy talks about the Doctor, and when Clara, asks her about, aren't you supposed to be mortal enemies? And Missy's actually upset that Davros is the Doctor's mortal enemy, which is pretty cool. But I almost see this angel and devil on the Doctor's shoulder being, Clara and Missy, right? They're integral to the Doctor, the companion, and the master. They're always going to be there. There's always going to be a companion. The master's always going to be a part of the Doctor's life. And I almost think of, you made a great point earlier about Michael Keaton and Batman and Jack Nicholson. Missy is kind of like the Joker to Doctor Who's Batman, in that I think The Dark Knight had a really fantastic scene with Heath Ledger's Joker, and he basically tells Batman, we're nothing without each other. You need me, I need you. We need each other to function. And that's the doctor and the master. They need each other to function. At the same time, because of that, I guess Missy can't be his arch nemesis because there's Davros, the one who now we come to find out that he rescued, which, again, felt a little awkward because it did feel like Moffat is yet again shoehorning something into Doctor Who mythology that maybe didn't need to be there, but ended up there somehow. So overall, I felt the episode was okay, but only because I didn't want a two-part episode. I wanted there to be more of I felt the cliffhanger at the very end was too much of a cliffhanger. There wasn't an emotional, you know, connection to that for me.
Well, I think that, and look, this is the thing that Moffat needs to do in the next episode, and this is why it's such a big ask. He has to explain away two things: how Missy survived, and how Davros survived the end of time. Because the last we saw, you know, David Tennant's doctor was saying, you know, come with me, I can save you. And he's like, no, I curse you, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the Dalek mothership blew up and every single Dalek went kaput. You know, and are we going to get the whole emergency temporal shift that's, you know, become such a cop out? I mean, I'm hoping that we're going to get an interesting thing. And look, I'm going to throw this out there again, that there is still this sneaky suspicion with me that Missy is not the master, and I'm not doing this just to wind people up. I'll back it up. First of all, there's this one line, actually, it's this one line where she's talking to, I think, Clara, and she says, you know, ever since I was a little girl. Well, we know the master and the doctor were boys growing up together on Gallifrey.
Yeah.
We have seen it. Now, it doesn't, you know, it may be a total throwaway line. It may be Mr. Moffat retconning the universe yet again, as in retconning the very recent universe, because in the Sound of Drums, we saw a young master looking into the Untempered Schism, yes, and it was a little boy, and that's where the drums kicked in. So it could be Moffat dicking with, you know, continuity, as he is wont to do. But as we also know, Moffat lies. And, you know, it might be that we will see moving, you know, to the end, that this might be, you know, somebody else. This could be, you know, it could be Rassilon regenerated. It, you know, we know the Time Lords are back from the, you know, the end of the Matt Smith era. You know, we know that planet is out there somewhere. So yeah, well, let's see how that goes. I mean,
it could be a Zygon for all we know.
Well, no, it was the two hearts. I mean, we had the two hearts last time from the end of last season. But yes, the whole I don't think it could be a Zygon, because again, it's just the technology and the various bits and bobs. Like you know, yeah, I think it is. You know, this version of Missy is another Time Lord, especially as we've got what's the name of the girl with the asthma and the scarf? Was it Oswin?
Oswin, yep.
Yeah, we've got her coming back, and she's possibly the Zygon. And I think not even Moffat would double dip like that, unless he's planning on some sort of culmination where everybody's a Zygon and planet Earth is gone, and the Doctor's the only, you know, the only sort of like non-Zygon on the planet, which would be, you know. And then that you hit a button and it just all resets to
perhaps. Which would be the most Moffat thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but we were, during this conversation, I just want to let everybody know that we were joined by Stephen Strum.
Oh, nice of you to join us.
I've been here for like 20 minutes just listening to you guys.
I know. I saw your little icon pop up and I was like, yeah, so he finally joined us. Is he not? He's not playing Rocket League tonight.
I am not playing Rocket League tonight. I was playing Soma before I got here, though. And then good I choice. Came in here with Dally saying, like, oh, just come in. Like, I'm not going to introduce you or anything, but please just interrupt us at any point so you don't look like an asshole. That'd be great.
It's a typical Stephen Strum thing to do. The oncoming Strum.
That's why they call me that.
So many Stephen, people. Your thoughts on the episode?
It was better than literally anything from last season. Well, no. Okay, there was Boneless last season. That was fine. But it was better than every episode besides that.
I think it was more balanced than anything we had last season, because even Boneless was great. I mean, we had a brand new villain. It was, you know, the Doctor was kind of pulled out of it because he was stuck in the shrinking TARDIS. Yeah. But it was still Nutty Capaldi and not...
Right, yes.
Not this more sort of like tempered and balanced kind of Capaldi. I mean, you know, we had just one extreme all the way through, I think.
I definitely agree with you. This was the best Capaldi, and I think you mentioned earlier about Missy. I think this was the best Capaldi and the best Missy that I've seen in throughout these last two seasons of Doctor Who. They both were at the top of their game character wise.
This episode specifically had a line that I really liked that is kind of like, if that's the direction that they're taking Capaldi, I'm kind of done with it, which is to say that he said, like, I'm throwing a party and all of me are invited, or something along those lines, where he was talking about how he, you know, had been wearing a scarf and, like, putting celery on himself and stuff like that earlier on in the day. And like, this idea of, like, Capaldi is, like, once again, you know, we have this older doctor-type character and everything, like, this more mature guy. The idea of him being, like, sort of the culmination of, like, all of the different doctors and their quirks and their experience into a sort of older, more mature, grown-up man, like, kind of, I don't hate that idea. Like, I don't hate that, like, them picking that ball and running with it. And it kind of felt like that a little bit throughout this episode, just, like, the idea of him being, like, a little bit more, like, settled down. Like, even William Hartnell, you look back to that, or Patrick Troughton, especially, despite being, like, older actors themselves, they had like this much more like childish streak to them in a lot of ways even back then, whereas Capaldi has been much more curmudgeonly last season, and now this season is not curmudgeonly, at least not yet, but playing more of an older man than he has before, than we've seen before on the Doctor.
I don't disagree, and I mean, I'm hoping again that this season, I want some payoff this season. I want, I mean, obviously, you know, apparently we're going to find out when, we're going to find out why he's got the face of the guy from Pompeii. You know, we are going to find out hopefully what happens to, you know, what happened with Missy. We know that Oswin's coming back. I would like to see some more information on Gallifrey, because I mean, you know, it's been a year. Well, actually, it's been 18 months almost.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's almost been 2 years. I apologize, isn't it?
It's almost been that long, right?
Yeah, it's almost been 2 years. Crikey,
I don't know if you guys noticed, but there are long gaps between episodes of Doctor Who now.
In between seasons. Yes.
And I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have some sort of touch base to Gallifrey, because the Doctor is now an anomaly in the land of the Time Lords, because he is the one who's in his 13th regen. And this mythical 13th regen that should never have happened. So I would like to see a little exploration of that, and perhaps explaining, you know, a little bit behind it as to, all right, well, you know, what happened when the Time Lords gave him that? You know, I just want a little bit more this year from Moffat with regards to payoffs. I mean, the guy's, I've said it before, he's a cock tease.
Yeah, it's interesting that we went through an entire, like, I was going to say a season, but more like two, three seasons of having to sit through like Moffat's inability to pay off on a longer narrative. And then this season is almost entirely two-parters. So it's just going to be, you know, going by previous logic, like, at the very least, we're going to have to sit here and wonder every single week, is it going to work, or is it going to be a complete letdown like it has been for the past, like, 4 years?
Yeah.
It's almost going to be – it's almost like we're watching six really long episodes instead of 12, 12 episodes, because it's – essentially five two-parters and one extra, and then a couple extras.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as they're good, as long as they can explain some stuff, as long as they delve back into that Time Lord lore. And look, you know, if he can nail it this season, if he can pay off everything that needs to be paid off, and then steps aside at the end of it, I'll be down with that. I would like to see somebody have a crack at writing for Capaldi. You know, give him a little extra. And I'm wondering. I mean, oh, the other thing. Yeah. No, I actually covered that. Sorry. I'm sorry, doubling back on myself now. I just thought about Davros again.
I think if you're looking for an explanation specifically, you mentioned this earlier, but like something to explain away Davros and Missy coming back, I think you're going to be disappointed, because I think it's going to be one of two things that'll happen is we've already got the explanation, which is Missy saying like, oh yes, I'm alive, big surprise, which is like, you know, just a Moffat's nod to his favorite part of the Master, where the Master is dead and then just comes back. Or we're going to have, like, at the season finale or something like that, Missy and, you know, whoever she happens to be teaming up with at the moment, doing something and, like, saying, like, remember how I came back from the dead, or, you know, whatever like that, and then she does that thing to, like, get them out of a tight situation or something like that, and it'll be just this tiny little thing. I don't think it'll be a huge overarching, like, point in the fiction.
Yeah, same. I don't want a MacGuffin. I really don't want a MacGuffin, because if you look at the Pandorica Opens, that two-parter, that was repeated last week, and I watched it through again, and it so doesn't stand up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could drive a triple-decker bus through every scene in that one. And I think, you know, I don't know what I think.
Yeah, it's tough.
Screw myself.
It's tough to, like, we're in a weird point with Doctor Who again, which is that, like, it's unlimited potential, but we're once again, you know, it's not the first time or even the third time that we've been, like, burned by, like, a Moffat season. So we have that, like, hope and that for that potential for the future, not only of the first part of a two-parter, but for the entire season. But we also have, like, years of weight on our shoulders at this point of being kind of, like, let down over and over again. And this episode being strong and being good and having a lot of really great elements to it, like the hand mines, like being like the line about, like, the different technologies being used in this very long war, referencing back to Skaro, like the snake democracy, I thought was great, that sort of thing. Overall, it's just a super strong episode with a lot of super strong elements. So we want to believe, but we also know that it's a dangerous game. So, like, what else do you say in an episode of a podcast like this?
How cool was Davros' sidekick, by the way?
Colony Soft? Like,
yeah. Super cool.
Colony Soft, yeah. And what's the odds that we don't hear from him ever again?
Like, 100-1 in favor of never hearing him again from him.
Right after this next episode, we're never hearing from him again.
Missy will vaporize him with her cell phone or whatever, and it'll be done.
You think he's actually going to be in the next episode? I think, you know, maybe we will probably just forget about him now.
that is a distinct possibility. They'll, like, rewrite time. Yeah, like, and then they'll just never mention him again. Oh god, that'd be so lame. Like, that was such a cool kind of the reveal that he was like a colony of snakes. Like, okay, sure, that's like a Doctor Who type thing. But then, like, the line, like, we are a democracy, and then they vote on their decision making. I thought that was so great.
Yeah, it was really cool, and just the way he unraveled and then re-raveled, and yeah, I mean, the effects looked pretty good considering. Yeah, and you know, the way he
the plane,
like,
effects were actually pretty cool. The plane's kind of stopping in air.
Yeah. I think, like, the payoff for, like, I mean, it was something that I kind of specifically wanted to talk about last week, and we hit on it a little bit, but, like, maybe that is part of why I'm so kind of optimistic right now, is that, like, that one little tiny detail that I always notice, which is that, like, there's always these monsters and these cool designs on these things that never get any payoff, but had some payoff this week. Like, the hand mines were just a small little thing, but they tied back into Skaro and totally felt appropriate for that planet and for their weird war and their mix of technologies that, like, going back to the very first Dalek story, you know, you remember that stuff, and they felt perfect for that. The Colony Saab was, like, he had his cool moments and stuff like that. Even if he doesn't come back at any point, or even if he does get killed, like, immediately the next episode or something like that, he had, like, some cool stuff. Like, he had some payoff to his character, and, like, they added just enough to this, like, henchman character to make him seem like a character and not just like one of another thousand extras that like someone put 1,000 hours of work into designing and then Moffat writes out in 5 minutes.
We don't want him to be Darth Maul.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, like you don't want to have like the coolest thing about it, a whole thing, and then it's just like it completely gets erased. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely agree. Well, I have some thoughts from Sean, since he's not with us at the moment. As I mentioned earlier,
he was all Moffitty all over the place.
Sean says it was quite enjoyable. Started the season with a bang. Glad Missy is back. The writing here was also way better for her than it was last season. I think we all kind of agree with that.
Yeah, totally.
And he liked last season. He says loves them bringing back that aspect of the relationship between her and the doctor. Glad to see Karn was back. Also, can't wait to see how this Stavros thing plays out.
Though, yeah, Karn. I didn't really talk. I mean, maybe you guys talked about it before I got here, but like the Karn stuff, like returning to Karn was awesome.
Yes, definitely. Another cool thing. Yep. Thought seeing an ashamed doctor was fantastic. Capaldi's killing it, and he says Clara. Man, it's like they just don't know what to do with her anymore. She's the all-knowing companion whom even UNIT needs help from. He says he's very curious to see how it plays out with her this season, because right now there's nothing really compelling there in his opinion. Which is interesting, is that, and I kind of agree. There wasn't a lot. I think last season, because of the whole Danny Pink thing, and we had just gotten out of the 50th anniversary. This season, there isn't anything, at least this first episode, to compel me. I mean, she dies. Sorry, spoiler. She gets zapped, which we know it's not permanent, but.
Or is it? I don't know. She has to pick up a rocket launcher at some point. So no, but. Yeah. I thought it was that was actually one very specific thing I wanted to mention too that I thought of while I was watching the episode. How weird is that the whole thing with Clara, like telling the doctor, like, you lied to me about your about my boyfriend's murderer still being alive out there in the universe somewhere, and to make it up to me, I need you to come back alive. I don't know about that. Like, it seems to me like she should have been like. More upset, and B, like, that as her, like, using that as her way of, like, saying, like, yeah, you better come back to me alive right after you've just, like, screwed me over in this, like, big bad way and, like, left this, like, war criminal friend of yours who just murdered, like, 4 innocent people in front of my eyes, in addition to my boyfriend last year. That seems so weird.
Yeah. You know,
I will just say the conversation this podcast has been very different from last year. Last year it was basically, oh, this is awful. I don't even know if I want to talk about this. Let's just hope the next episode's better. This one, we're actually having conversation about aspects of this episode that, you know, whether they're moral aspects, ethical, or how it impacts the history and how Moffat and Capaldi are going about the character. I think it's definitely a strong start for season 9. I'm personally just glad that last season everything settled down and we have the actual doctor this time around. In fact, there were some little essences of the humor from Thick of It that I think that Capaldi was actually able to capitalize this time around with this first episode. Because he had settled down so much, and yet he was still being a little bit bombastic and a little bit crazy out there. I just watched a little bit of the Thick of It over the last few weeks to get a sense of, you know, more of Capaldi's humor, and it works out perfectly here.
I have not ever watched any of that show other than like clips I've seen of people like superimposing his lines onto trailers for Doctor Who. So.
Well, we do have some thoughts from our wonderful listeners and our followers on Twitter. You can find us at Lonely TARDIS and, of course, on iTunes and LonelyTARDIS.com. Chris Noonan says, jaw-dropping beginning, shaky middle, boring Missy and Clara dialogue, the Dr. Rocks, mildly interesting cliffhanger. Alan Paxton, longtime listener, says, I watched and enjoyed episode 1 of season 9. Since last season was so hot and miss, I will see how we go. I found Missy less annoying than last year. I wonder if this is his, Capaldi, this doctor, last year given death being the theme of episode one. Another longtime listener, Annalise, says, I rather enjoyed the season premiere. It confused and delighted me. And oh, rock doctor upping the sexy. 8.8 out of 10 or 4 out of 5 Sonics. You know, here's an interesting thought is that he gave Davros the Sonic screwdriver. It's still the same Sonic screwdriver from Matt Smith. I was really hopeful that we would have a brand new Sonic screwdriver, almost more so than the new TARDIS. Hopefully this will push towards a new Sonic screwdriver.
That's going to happen. That's, like, guaranteed to happen. I would almost guarantee that you that, like, in within either this episode or the episode after it, we're going to have a new Sonic screwdriver. But I would, if I had to take a guess, I would say this week's episode.
Yeah, Christmas is coming. BBC needs to sell some merch.
Yes, true. And then finally, Scott Nixon says, I'm having fun watching, but it seems a little Americanized. I don't really know what he means by that, but...
Well, that was an American tank that he rode in at the beginning of the episode.
That's true, yeah.
So, I don't know if that's true at all. But
that's an American guitar that he was holding. I have no idea.
I actually don't think that... I mean, I think this one is... this episode is definitely not Americanized. I actually think that this one has... You know, it takes liberties, and that's what Moffat does. He takes liberties all the time. But I think last year it seemed the most American because it was almost like a plot and storyline by committee. It's like Moffat took to Twitter to see what the American audience wanted, to see what, took on board everything they said at Comic-Con before writing all these episodes that are, you know, designed to do this and do that. And this is, you know, the thing I did say last week, that Doctor Who cannot lose his quintessential Britishness. And yeah, I think, you know, it's a sign of the times and a sign of us getting older in particular, that the world, that we grew up in is evolving and devolving in certain cases. But yeah, I think this one felt good. I mean, for a start, it starts off with a kid that I don't want to throttle. Even when he turns out to be Davros, I still don't want to wring his neck.
The only kid you'd ever want, you ever should be okay to wring his neck is Davros.
I wonder if that had anything to do with the fact that he had like zero speaking lines for like the first 5 minutes of his time on screen and then didn't talk. And then when he did talk, he was gone in like 15 seconds.
Possibly. Any other thoughts on this episode, gentlemen?
It's promising. And promising is good, but just wait. You just wait to get Moffitted.
Yeah. The cliffhanger, this is kind of a thing I wanted to say earlier. This is kind of the last thing, was it's Doctor Who, so the cliffhanger can just mean absolutely nothing, like if it wants to, because he can just like go back in time and fix it all, you know. He obviously did go back in time at some point because he's pointing the gun at Davros, so we already know that like all bets are off with like the TARDIS and Missy and Clara being dead. Like we would have known, like even if we hadn't seen that, we would have known all those bets are off, were off anyway. But the one thing I would like to hope at least is that someone at the BBC is like smart enough to know that cliffhangers like that, when time traveling is involved, don't necessarily have to mean anything precisely for what they're showing, but can be symbolic. Like that cliffhanger can indicate that come next episode, something big will happen. Some big changes are going to happen because the consequences are so high if things don't change that we have to do something major, something drastic to reverse this. That's been the biggest problem with like so many seasons of Doctor Who lately, is that like you press a button and everything gets fixed, which is like the antithetical to good storytelling, like in general, like conflict and resolution, like you need these things to like make an, like to make drama. And I would just hope that someone would be smart enough to know that they cannot open the first part of or the first story of the new season with something like that and then not have there be some consequence. Like he saves Davros as a child and as a result, Davros becomes a good guy growing up and does not create the Daleks or something like that. You know, like, that's kind of my go-to theory right now of what's going to end up happening here.
I actually think that Davros didn't get saved. I think he goes back and still doesn't save him, because if you think about it, the hand grenades or the hand mines, they have that eye in the middle that looks remarkably like Davros's eye in the center of his forehead.
Huh. Oh, yeah, that does make sense. But you could like think that too, like the idea of the Doctor. The way that I see the timeline is that right now is this, in my pet theory anyway, Davros was abandoned by the Doctor. Davros gets out of that gem in some other way. Somebody else comes and saves him, or he gets himself out of the thing and then goes on to create the Daleks. But by being saved by another human, you know, or by another person than another person that he sees, as opposed to getting himself out of it, maybe he sees some good in the universe or something like that. And the getting away from the hand mines on his own could have like totally led to him taking the eye and putting it, you know, like taking the eye iconography. But that's like kind of what I've assumed is happening here. But like, obviously, we won't know until next week for sure. My other guess too is that because that's just how Doctor Who works. Davies, Moffat, or anybody, like he'll save Davros, and then I don't know, someone will just like someone from across the field will like some random person we've never seen will shoot Davros, because anytime anything major happens on Doctor Who, they have to, like, even if there are consequences, it can't be consequences that affect the Doctor in any way. Like, I keep going back to season 3 when, like, he was like, okay, Master, come with me on my TARDIS adventures or whatever, and the Master's like, no, and just dies instead. like, stuff like that is, like, that to me is, like, quintessential, like, we're going to have consequences, but as long as they're consequences that we can welch on later by then having the Master come back to life again and again.
You know, so one of the problems I've always had with Doctor Who, not really a problem, but one of the concerns or issues or one of the things that's always been a pet peeve, I guess, is what I've been calling disembodied Daleks. And that's that Daleks just sort of appear and they wreck shit up. Sorry, pardon my language. And then the doctor defeats them and they disappear. And we don't know where they show up, but they always seem to be the last of their race. Like, right there, there's that constant, we're the last of the Daleks. There's only 5 of us. So we're going to build a whole new race of Daleks in New York. Or we're the last 2 Daleks. Or I'm the last Dalek or whatever.
Absolutely.
If this can reintroduce Davros as the, you know, I guess you say, quote unquote, leader of the Daleks, the main person. If he could somehow be a more recurring character and push the Daleks from that standpoint, and so that there is this nemesis, and it's always Davros leading the Daleks instead of just Daleks popping up on mysteriously. I think that could be a very cool way to kind of tie everything together. Because the way the Cybermen have functioned has actually been fairly successful. There's always somebody pulling the strings. You know, somebody finds the secret, the secret formula to create Cybermen. So that's where the Cybermen come from. But the Daleks just show up. So I'm hopeful that this will lead to an actual leader of the Daleks and Davros. I mean, he is their creator. But to give them purpose more than just to be popping up as a monster of the week type of thing. And in fact, I think they became such a monster of the week that you're no longer afraid of the Daleks. And so I think that's why you need to bring purpose back in there with Davros. But, you know,
recreating Skaro and all that stuff would
kind
of indicate that, right? Like, they have a seat of power again. They have, like, a throne world that they can call their own, that they can send out ships from, and that people can go to and start wars with.
Yep. In fact, it's funny. I almost thought that was Gallifrey when they first showed it. But, I'm hopeful for – I'm positive for the season. It was a good start. It was much better than last year's debut. Doctor Who.
Oh, right, the Don't Breathe thing. Yeah.
The Tyrannosaurus Rex running through London.
That is fine.
But I think this is way better. I think this is the start of something. Let me get your ratings before we get on to the one last huge bit of news, Doctor Who related. So what were your, out of hand mines, out of five hand mines, what would each of you give it? I'm just going to let you know, Sean gave it 4 hand mines, and it dipped up or down throughout the episode. But overall, he gave it 4 hand mines. Marcus, how many hand mines would you give this? What's your hand mine rating?
I'm going to give it 4 asterisk because in the best traditions of Polygon, if next week's episode sucks, I'm going to rate it as an overall and drop it down. But it also might go up. It might go to 4.5. I mean, depends on how strong next week is as an entire story.
If there's any downloadable content for this episode, I'm going to give it a 3. Only because I wasn't as satisfied with that the cliffhanger as I would have liked to be. Stephen, what about yourself?
I'm going to give it 4 with one of the hand mines winking.
That doesn't
mean anything. That's not an asterisk or anything like that. It's just I just wanted one of them to be winking.
And now the big news, which is Jenna Coleman has announced that this is her last season of Doctor. She has finished filming her tenure on Doctor Who. Now, that means Christmas, right? Would Christmas be her final episode, or is it the end?
No, she's out before Christmas.
So she's out before Christmas. So there we go. As we spoke about last week, that we were hoping that Jenna can gracefully exit Doctor Who. She's been long in the tooth, her character, Clara. This is it. It's official. So how do you guys feel about that? Marcus, we just talked about this last week.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm not a Clara hater like a lot of people. I saw some of the comments online. They were brutally vicious. I mean, I still rate Clara above Rose and Martha.
Yep.
As, you know, I mean, she's been mishandled. You know, the Impossible Girl storyline just got the standard Moffat-ing. And that's going to be a term in the future that you look in the dictionary. It's like if you get Moffitted, it's not a good thing. I think she struggled manfully. There's certain episodes where she's really come out. Again, the Boneless one last year, I thought she was really good in that. She's had her ups and downs, Christmas specials and so on. I mean, Asylum of the Daleks was another one before she was officially a companion.
Yeah.
And I hope they give her a strong send-off. It'll be interesting to see her arc this season if we see more of this, you know, stronger, sort of like more in control woman. You know, is she going to die? Is she going to be shipped off somewhere? It's the right time for her to move on.
Yeah.
I really hope that she just like went. I just wanted to tear off of something that you were saying, Marcus. I really hope that she just goes off to do something else. Like I hope not the actor, because we know that she's already off to do something else, and great for her because I think she's actually a fantastic actor. But I hope that it's not like we don't like that she can have a good send off, and she doesn't have to be just Martha of like I'm just going to leave the TARDIS. I don't know, but also. You know, I would like for her to just continue having a life somewhere, because I feel like we've
right.
with the last like 4 or 5 companions, like, you know, last 2 or 3 companions have all been pretty tragic and whatnot. So I would like to just have I think it's a resetting year. I think we can just have a good one. Also, her life has been pretty jacked up by all this like stuff going on, like being torn through the time stream, having her boyfriend murdered in front of her, and all this other stuff. So maybe she just deserves to have some good stuff happen.
So what I think is going to happen is the last 2 episodes of this season are named Heaven Sent and Hell Bent, and we know there was the whole heaven aspect.
Oh yeah.
Last year, I do think that she's going to reunite with Danny Pink, and that's what her send off is going to be.
Mm-hmm. That actually doesn't seem unlikely.
We'll get Moffitted. And yeah, I agree with you. It's time to go. Thank you. Clara's been, I think she's been great. You know, last season I really enjoyed her much more, almost much more than the Doctor himself. Because at least she was consistent throughout, but, yeah, that first year she was all over the place with the Impossible Girl. This year, you know, we'll see how the rest of this year plays out.
Yep.
That was the big news. And at least we know there are going to be big changes next year. I'm already looking forward to Christmas, seeing what happens there. And you know, obviously there's already rumors about this being Capaldi's last year as well. So who knows?
There were rumors that this was going to be Capaldi's last year.
Exactly. All right. And now, when you think about it, he's been the doctor in 3 consecutive years of Doctor Who. So
yeah, but look, he's had 1 full season, and by the end of this, it'll be 2 full seasons. Yeah. So if he does go at the end, he will have outlasted Eccleston. He already outlasted McGann.
Yeah.
I just hope this time. I just don't go as nuts with the search and the announcement and cheese it up like they used to, because this will not endear me to so many people out there, but I'm not trying to be a bit of a sexist pig about it, but my big fear is that Moffat's going to fuck off after giving us a female doctor and then he'll fuck off. And yeah. I think, I've said why I think it'll throw off the dynamic in the TARDIS. I just hope Capaldi stays for a season to outlast Moffat. Moffat can go at the end of the year. Thank you. Bye-bye. You've written some great episodes. Now fuck off.
I agree with you. I can't agree more. I can't agree anymore. With that, we're going to start signing. We're going to sign off right now. It's been a good hour of audio. A lot of fun stuff is going to happen. I did also want to announce that you mentioned Paul McGann. Ooh, before I sneeze, I'll mention it right now. Titan Comics has been doing these great new Doctor Who comics, and they're the 8th Doctor now has a miniseries out. So that's pretty cool. If you're interested in Paul McGann stories, definitely check it out. I've been reading all the Doctor Who books so far. So I've got the 9th, 10th, and 11th Doctors, and 12th Doctors. So I've got all 4 of the Doctors that are out reading their comics regularly. And it's pretty cool. That's pretty exciting.
Cool. Ellie, I have had 2 hours of sleep today.
Yes, so excellent. I think we're all signing off right now. You can find me and my nasally visage at Dolly Dymovsky on Twitter. Marcus, where can they find you?
You can find me at Annoyed Gamer on the Twit.
And Stephen, your Twit?
at Stephen Strom, StevenStrom.
You can find Sean at Sean Norton. He will be here next week, I guarantee you, no matter what. If I have to go back in time to get him on, I'll get him on. You can find us at Lonely TARDIS and LonelyTARDIS.com. Please, if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, please rate and review us. Da, 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 da.
It's weird. You said that, I bet you might go back in time to go get him on the show, and I just noticed that he is now on the credits for last week's episode.
Yes, he is. I've added him because of his comment that he gave us, the couple paragraphs, and he'll be credited on this episode as well. I'm Moffitting him into our existence.
He doesn't turn up, and yet he gets...
Total Moffat move. Total Moffat move.
You want to talk about Americanization of values, like that everybody's a winner garbage right there.
There you go. That's the Americanization of Doctor Who. We're all winners. We all have that timey-wimey button. With that, we'll see you guys and gals and Daleks and Paternaster gangs.
And everybody.
We'll see everybody next week on The Lonely TARDIS. Stephen, sing us out.
I don't know. What do you want? Which one? Give me a request of a song that I know the lyrics to.
That was good enough for me, actually. Thank you.